ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode 104 of the report. Yeah, man, it's been a week. It's been a week, and I got some shit to talk to y'all about. I got somebody to talk with me to talk to y'all about some things. I got the homie Wendell Tucker of Theory Studios Incorporated here with me. Say what's up to the people, fam.
Good day, good people. And Wendell Tucker checking in from the south side of Chicago.
Indeed, man, indeed.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter always.
Let's just start off right with that.
Black Lives Matter always. And also, and two, not more.
Not in more. Addition to.
In addition to. And I'd like to add that my life matters as well. You know what I mean?
My life specifically. Wendell lives matter.
Man, listen, the amount of ignorance, man, that we're going to have to cover on today's show. It's become so common that it's disappointing. It's heartbreaking. It's like seeing somebody kick a puppy, all that shit, man, all wrapped into one, man. Real talk. But, thanks for coming on, brother.
Thank you, brother, for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yes, indeed, man. What's been going on with you, man?
Right now, the big project that we're working on is, the Theory's Fine Arts Center here in Chicago.
Okay. How's that coming along?
It's coming pretty good. We just scouted out a couple of new locations. We're pretty much looking to build a 45,000 square foot fine arts center on the south side of Chicago for the people.
Indeed, man. And I know with you, man, with the plays and whatnot, man, I saw that you got some dates coming up around the country. What's happening with that?
Yeah, I'll be performing at the Atlanta Black Theater Festival. Mm-hmm. My one-man show, Wendell Tucker Hates the World. we're going to be performing that in Atlanta. We got a couple more dates. We're trying to work out some Detroit dates, too.
Oh, yeah, man. Make that
down
happen.
There.
Make that
absolutely
happen, man. Make that happen. I'll definitely spread the word on that, man. Real talk. Now, you know, like, I know that you said you worked, like, at a call center, man. I see some of your Facebook posts, brother. I used to work at a call center too, so I could relate. What's the craziest shit somebody done said to you over the phone, man, working in that call center, bro?
Oh, man. Listen, so here's the deal. I do tech support for a big company that supplies reservation software to restaurants around the world and connects people with reservations. You can fill in the blank there.
Right.
And so the funniest thing that happens is that you have all these people that work in these restaurants, right, that run restaurants, and they have this integral piece of technology that they have no idea what to use, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe about a week ago, I spent 45 minutes with a gentleman who believed that we sent him a computer with no power button. And I'm like, well, sir, how do you turn it on? Like, how did it get turned on? He was like, I don't know, it's always on. You guys turn it on. I say, well, how would we turn it on if there's no power button? Yeah. He's like, I don't know. I don't pay for you guys to break my computer and take my power button. I'm like, now we took your power button?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, secret agents that we send to restaurants to steal the power buttons off your computer.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you think is happening with your revenue. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just, but you know what? Even that, it's dangerous. It's dangerously ignorant because you have people like, you take a simple thing like technology and a computer, right? Mm-hmm. And you have people who don't know how to use it. And that becomes their reason to hate anybody they have to talk to that's dealing with their computer.
Yeah.
Right? It's like dangerous ignorance. Like, why would you hinge your business on something that you don't understand at all?
Yeah. Or even employ someone who would understand how to use that technology.
You hire 30, 40 people, and you never ask a single one of them, do you know how to use a computer? And most of your business is hinged on using a computer. Like, yeah. That is, like, that's negligible ignorance. Like, you are so negligent to your business right now. Like, yeah, man. I don't understand it.
Yeah, but you know, like, I'm like tech support for my family, so I get what you're saying. Like, usually anytime anybody has a computer question, a cell phone question, a computer, right, like internet question, I'll get the phone call like, hey Span, so I just bought this phone, right? I don't know how to unlock this bitch. Like, how do I unlock it? Like, did you set a password for it? Yeah, I forgot it. What the fuck you want me to do? Like,
what you want me to do? Like, what people calling angry because you left, because they forget their password.
No, the thing that bothers me is they'll call me before they'll call the people who actually make the damn phone. Like, they will call me because I'm kind of into that thing, you know, and I used to be really into, like, say, for instance, with an Android phone, like, rooting my phone and, like, adding different features to it that you wouldn't get out of the box normally. I was real heavy into doing that. So because folks would see me doing certain things in my phone, they kind of figured, well, shit, Span knows everything about these
phones. He knows everything about these phones.
Let me hit Span up real quick, and he can tell me how to get, like, hey, man, like, you might want to call tech support. Like, what the fuck I got you for? Like, nigga, you ain't paying me. You ain't paying me shit. I'm taking time out of my day.
You don't have me, okay?
Yeah.
You don't have me. I know you, but you don't have me, all right? I'm not your tech support guy. You don't even bring me beers when you ask me for tech support.
The sad part about it is, man, is when I got them on the phone and they asking me all of these questions, I may be sitting at my computer at that very moment and just Googling the shit that they asking me about. And so
I'll tell anybody who's watching this, if you call tech support, 75% of the time, when you ask them a question, the first thing we do is go to Google. Like, you know how many million things can go wrong with computers and software? I don't remember all that.
Yeah, man. Like, I even get it at the job, man, because, like, I flip phones so often. Like, I would, like, you know, I'm with T-Mobile. So with T-Mobile, I was able to, like, upgrade a phone every 6 months.
Right.
And so, like, guys would come up to me and be like, hey, man, so I need this app, right? So that, like, when my side chicks is texting me, my phone won't ring, but I still get the message. They got an app for that. But, like, nigga, I don't know, man. You can go in this motherfucker.
Just call putting your phone on silent, like, dude. What is wrong?
Or, there's a lot of different ways in which to facilitate those things. But when they be asking me questions about applications, or, like,
right,
the application and how they want to use it is what's so funny. Like, when you keep asking me how you can hide the fact that you cheating on your wife,
man.
You know what I mean? No. Like, listen, man, like, I get it. You know, you trying to keep your shit together. You ain't trying to lose everything, but I don't want to be a party to that, man. Like,
I don't want to be, don't cheat, man.
Listen.
But yo, last year, right, I decided I was going to go back to school.
Yeah.
And I was going to learn app development, right?
Yeah.
So, I started asking around, and you know, by me being an entertainer, most of the people I deal with are entertainers, right?
Yeah.
And I started asking around about what kind of apps people would want to have made if they wanted their own app. And I made a mistake of asking rappers this. And I'm going to tell anybody, if you ask a rapper if they could come up with an idea for anything, this would be the most far-fetched, like, ridiculous idea that you ever heard. Like, dudes, yeah, dog, so, brother, what I want to do is, I want to revolutionize the game, right? I want an app that, every time they walk through a doorway, it start playing my music like it's their theme song. And I'm like, how the hell is the app supposed to know when they walk through a doorway?
Like, right. Well, I guess they figuring out like proximity settings and shit like that. You know, your phone could tell you when the last place you parked your car or some shit like that. They figure it could do just about anything.
It don't know, right? It's like, dude, that is so ridiculous. And it was like, yeah, and like when it get in the car, it automatically turn on to my song. It's it don't work like that, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Hold up. We done got way too ahead. We done got ahead of ourselves. I ain't even introduced the show.
Yes.
We gonna get right back into this. Hold on a second.
To the ignorance.
This is Spam Report. You can get at me in a hundred different ways, man. You can email the show at feedback@thespamreport.com. That's feedback@thespamreport.com. Send me those emails. Of course, we'll read those emails here live on the show. You can hit the Spam Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. We'll play those messages here on the show and, of course, respond in kind. You can also chop it up with your man on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, so we can chop it up throughout the week, talk shit. Send me your ass hat of the week submissions. We got a couple this week. Oh, ass boy. Hat of the week submissions. Send those to asshat@thespamreport.com. That's asshat@thespamreport.com. Send me those submissions. And for all of your Spam Report needs, man, go to www.thespamreport.com. Everything's available there. All of the podcasts are available there. All of the videos and the sound clips are associated with this podcast are available there. You can also donate to the show, man. Hit the donate button and give whatever you feel necessary to keep the Spam Report rolling, man. So that would definitely be appreciated. And along with those 5-star reviews from iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, man, pass the word, man. It really helps the show grow. And I appreciate it immensely, man. Thank you so much for all of you guys who actually take the time to do that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, back to what we was talking about.
Ignorance is dangerous.
It is. It is.
And there's been so much of it.
You know, funny thing is, man, we talking about cell phones and shit, man. Somebody was trying to pay my cell phone bill this, like, twice this
week. I saw that.
Twice this week, right? So check this out. I got a text message. Usually when I pay my bill, T-Mobile will send me a text message to say, thank you for the payment, and it's been processed and everything else, right? So I get a text message. I want to say it was the 16th. I get a text message on the 16th. Says, Antoine Span. Damn, I just gave my government out to the whole Spam Report universe. I never do that. Anyway, it said that I I had authorized an $800 payment. So I'm like, hold up. First thing I did was I looked at those last four digits. I'm like, wait a minute, let's see. None of my cards ending that those last four digits. None of my bank accounts ending those last four digits. And I know damn well my wife didn't put $800 down on the cell phone bill, and those don't match any of her account numbers either. So, call T-Mobile, like, hey, man, there was an $800 payment posted to my account. I didn't do that.
You know? Like, man, I don't want no problems.
Like, that wasn't me, you know what I mean? And so they're like, oh, man, so wait a second. There was an $800 payment applied to your account, and you're calling to tell us that you didn't make that payment? It's like, nah, it wasn't me, man. So I'm going to need y'all to straighten that out, because it's actually set my account up to where I had like a negative balance of like 467 or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a really high cell phone bill, man. My cell phone bill is usually like 3-something a month.
Dang.
Well, that's with all the devices and shit. Like, I got like
I got three
cell phones with unlimited data, and then I got a tablet too. So like with all the devices, the data plans and all of that other stuff, yeah, it's like 347 a month. So I'm like, okay, yeah, it's at negative 4-something, but I didn't do this, man. I don't need this to come back on me. Go ahead and fix it, right?
So wait, that was a credit of 400 and something
right.
dollars
I had a credit on my account, right? So they went on ahead, they took it off, account went back to what I owe, which was the 347, right? 2 days later, again, another $800 payment applied to my account. And I'm like, well, goddamn. Like, now this is the second time it had happened. Now, the first time, I'm like, okay. That was first time it was a coincidence. Second time, I was really contemplating, like, just saying, fuck it, and leaving it there, right? And so that's when I posted it on like Facebook. I'm like, yo, man, somebody keep trying to pay my cell phone bill. And I'm thinking about just going ahead and letting them do it. You know what I mean? And like I posted it on my personal Facebook page. I posted it on the Black Guy Who Tips group. And it was a few people like, yo, man, like you blocking your blessings, man. Like you need to go ahead. Look, you need to go ahead and let that happen.
Number one.
Yeah.
When God say, okay, just shut up. Okay. Just God was like, yo, here, this for you, Span. This for you. And uh-huh. You like, nah, God. No, man. I want to pay this out my salary. God, that he said it two times. So yeah. You say it, you make him say it again, he gonna say it with his hand.
Oh, well, listen.
Number two. Whoever that is out there paying Span bill, if you want to continue that kind of fiduciary work, I will give you my number. I also have some other bills that you can like, roll right into that train, brother. Because,
well, see,
black bills matter.
Here's the thing, man. And like I talked to T-Mobile the second time, they actually had like their fraud protection department call me.
Uh-huh.
And apparently there's this thing where like, and I'm not sure how exactly it works, but they were thinking that there may have been some fraud on my account where somebody was paying my bill and then they were going to follow that up with trying to order devices because there was a credit applied to my account. And so when those devices were then bought and I don't report the fact that this payment wasn't made by me, now I'm on the hook for those devices. So...
they just buy the devices. That's 800.
Listen, dude, I got enough devices. Didn't I just tell you how much my cell phone bill is a month, man? $347. That's actually the second highest bill I got. It's more than my car note.
Damn.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, nah, man, I'm not interested in buying anybody outside of my wife and daughter a new iPhone, man. That's just not gonna happen. Nah, man. But yeah, that happened. So I was like that. The question was scam or blessing. Of course, it's a scam, but I know quite a few folks who were like, man, look what God got for me, man. Look at this.
Man, look.
Won't he do it?
Won't he do it? Look, I'd have had a whole hallelujah.
Man, listen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah,
look, I took that ultralight beam and kept going, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it was another thing I want to talk to you about, too, because of, like, the call center thing. We were talking about the call center stuff. Remember, I used to be a telemarketer. Your work is a little bit more noble than what my work used to be, right? So, like, I used to do telemarketing. It was for what was the name of this? Because it was a play on the cancer society, like the American Cancer. It was the Cancer Fund of America Support Services. That's what it was.
Okay.
And basically, the script was we were providing medical supplies and hospice care to dying cancer patients, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like calling folks, like, and it was the thing of it was like they got me because like my mother had passed away from cancer, so it was a personal right. thing for me. But then I started noticing like after I got the job and I was only there maybe 5 or 6 months, but after I had gotten the job, how like most of the monies that the Cancer Fund of America Support Services collected actually just went to go pay people like me.
Like, right.
Like if you think about it, like they really didn't facilitate the amount of supplies that they would suggest that they did during those calls. And I remember being on the phone with a lot of people. It used to be fun, actually. Like I used to, like, depending on what region we were calling, I would change my accent, I'd change my voice up a little bit, I'd give them different names and shit. Like if we was calling Louisiana, my name would be Boudreaux. If we was calling like Alabama, my name would be oh shit, like Albert or something like that. If we were in Boston, it was Ricky. Like I had all these different characters that I had came up with while I was on the phone to keep from being pissed off that people were hanging up on me
right.
900 times a fucking day, man. So that cost in a life, man. I don't envy you at all.
Look, that sounded more noble than what I'm doing. Like, you know what? I realized like everybody has a level of fakeness to them, right?
Yeah.
And mine comes out when I'm talking to people. Somehow, subconsciously, I assume like I appropriate their dialect when I'm talking to them, and I don't even realize them. Hi, thank you for calling. How can I help you? And they're like, well, listen here, I'm having a problem with my computer. I was wondering if you can kindly help me out. And I'm like, well, sure. Why don't you go ahead and tell me what's going on with that thing there?
Like, had they ever called you out on that?
No. See, they never called me out on it. Like,
I that'd be the first thing I know. Like, hold up. Like, hold up.
I mean, it happens immediately. Like, it's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous thing I do on a daily basis, and I can't stop it. It's a habit now.
Man, look, I remember. I remember when because we used to, like, you know, a lot of people, they have this thing where they want to donate locally. Like, well, we make all our donations locally, right? And so we would have a list of all the places we would call, like, where their closest, like, our P.O. box was at.
Right.
And so instead of mentioning to them that it was a P.O. box, like, oh, yeah, we right down there on Washington Road down there, you know. They're like, Washington Road? I say, yeah, you know. And they're like, well, what's across the street from there? I'm like,
Google Map, know. Like.
Because if you told them, like, yeah, well, we're calling from our national call center in Dearborn, Michigan. They're like, oh, Dearborn, Michigan? Hell, I don't know anybody from no damn Dearborn, Michigan. What the hell? You know what? Get off my phone. Jeopardy's on. You know, man, Jeopardy and American Idol, man. If you call anybody during those times of the day when they're watching those shows, you are about to get an earful.
Man, look,
I got fired.
Empire for the sisters. It's like Empire, like the Real Housewives shows. Like if they're a black girl nerd, it's like you call them during like the Flash, the Arrow, or like.
Man, don't. But here's the thing, though. Like, folks are calling you for assistance.
Yes.
I was calling these folks trying to get money from them. So. Look,
it don't matter. It don't matter. People hate talking to people on phones. Like, they hate calling support. They hate any kind of telemarketing transaction where they may have to, like, transfer money. Hate it. Automatically, you are the worst person in their life.
I think the thing that. Here's the thing that I think gets people more. The most pissed off about calling tech support is actually getting a live person. So by the time you get to a live person, you done went through about 57,000 fucking prompts trying to figure out, okay, where do we need to send this call to? So by the time they get to you, oh, nigga. It's,
they're living.
They like,
they're living.
Like, oh, are you going to put me on hold again? You know what I mean? Like, well, sir, we're gonna put you on a brief hold. I gotta go talk to somebody. Like, oh shit, man, I've been on hold for half an hour already. Goddamn, what we gonna get this right. Shit taken care of?
I don't know you. I don't know nothing about what you want. I need time. Like, I had a caller during the Ferguson protest. Mm-hmm. I had a caller call from the St. Louis area, and they had to shut down their restaurant because of the protests that were going on. And I hear in the back, fucking niggers, and I'm like, whoa. I say, excuse me, can you say that for me again? Oh, no, I was talking to someone else. And I'm like, okay, well, here's the thing. If you, I understand you're frustrated about the things that's going on around you. However, that doesn't give you the right to be disrespectful to the people that you're talking to. If you're gonna be racist in the middle of like a racial protest, like now you're just a double dick, right? Like double down on your ass hatness.
Right.
But it was ridiculous how much the protest climate now I'm seeing is starting to affect the people that I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are white. And a lot of them they're pissed. Like,
oh yeah.
When I say I have four callers this past week that's pissed at Beyonce, I mean pissed. They want, like, if they could, they would fight Beyonce. They would lose, but they would try to fight Beyonce, like, because apparently, you know, wearing natural hair and throwing up a fist is equivalent to, like, joining the KKK in their mind.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. You know, and we're gonna get into some of this Beyonce talk in a little bit. We definitely got some Beyonce talk to get into, but before we did that, there was something that I think kind of tied into the whole tech support you know, technology discussion we've been having earlier. The FBI won a court ruling against Apple to get Apple to pretty much come up with a program to give them backdoor access to the iPhone of the San Bernardino shooter. Now, Apple, of course, has come out and said that they, of course, they don't want to do it. Basically, they're kind of thumbing their nose to the judge's ruling,
right?
Which, you know, having the amount of money that Apple has kind of allows them to do this sort of shit. But you know, the interesting thing about it though is how far we've gone from where now we have corporations looking out for our privacy as far as how we use our cell phones and the information therein, and protecting us from the government as opposed to it being the other way around. What do you think about that?
I feel two ways about this, to be very honest. One way is that corporations are pretty interesting, especially like Apple, right? They're pretty interesting in the way that they'll defend privacy, like when it's, I guess, publicly beneficial to them. You know, they should have definitely turned over the San Bernardino shooter's phone. Like, why would you not? They came out, they killed all those people, whatever. You need to figure out whether or not they're part of some terrorist hive or something like that. Yeah, that's cool. The weird thing about this is that Apple has that policy only when it relates to things not happening to Apple. Like, if you're jailbreaking your iPhone, right, and you're getting free apps, Apple would use their back door to go in there and disable your iPhone. They have this thing now where if you're getting your iPhone repaired at certain places, they brick your iPhone if you don't go through Apple for it. So to say that, you know, we care so much about customers' privacy and their devices, and it's not to be, you know, controlled by the government, but if it interferes with our economics, we're going to go ahead and exploit that device, because then that device is not your device. That device is one that you're licensing from us. So it's, I don't know, it's a little two-faced, especially in a time like this where you have so much digital harassment and you have people threatening to kill each other online and making death threats and, you know, revenge porn and all this stuff happening. Like,
Yeah, well, you know what? Tim Cook actually wrote out, he typed out a statement to that ruling. I'm going to read a little bit from it here. And at the very top, it talks about the need for encryption. It starts off like this. It says, smartphones led by iPhone have become an essential part of our lives. People use them to store an incredible amount of personal information, from our private conversations to our photos, our music, our notes, our calendars and contacts, our financial information and health data, even where we have been and where we are going. All of that information needs to be protected from hackers and criminals who want to access it, steal it, and use it without our knowledge or permission. Customers expect Apple and other technology companies to do everything in our power to protect their personal information, and at Apple, we are deeply committed to safeguarding their data. Compromising the security of our personal information can ultimately put our personal safety at risk. That is why encryption has become so important to all of us. For many years, we have used encryption to protect our customers' personal data because we believe it's the only way to keep their information safe. We even have put that data out of our own reach because we believe the contents of your iPhone are none of our business. Now, the CEO of Google also came out and made a statement in support of the Apple stance as far as their encryption, the encryption of the phones and the protection that it provides for the personal use of their consumers. And much of it is it echoes the same sentiment of keeping it out of the hands of hackers and or criminals. But one of the things that, like, I want to kind of get into is, like, how much we do depend on our cell phones to do so much. Like, take for instance, like, even myself, like, you know, I tend to kind of think of myself as somebody who's like who tries to be like kind of on the cutting edge of a lot of this stuff, especially when it comes to cell phones and whatnot. Like, I use Samsung Pay when I go out and and pay for things. I use Google Maps when I want to know where the hell it is that I'm going. I use, you know, I don't even buy music anymore. Like, I use Google Play Music to listen
Google
to
Play Music. You know, right.
I use my cell phone to listen to podcasts throughout the day while I'm working. I deposit checks and I do banking from my cell phone. Like, so many of the things that we have come to like do to handle our business, I think, and to the degree that like a lot of us will be lost as fuck without our cell phones. So I think
absolutely
the importance of being able to protect a lot of that information and keeping a lot of that information out of the wrong hands is a noble thing.
Yes.
But at the same time, like you were talking about before, how with Apple, if you jailbroke your phone and you were trying to buy apps for free and everything else, how they would break your phone and everything else. I don't have an Apple phone.
Right.
So I'm not really versed in how that happens with them. But I can't argue with, and this is funny, like I can't argue with this corporation over the need to protect my personal information.
I agree. I just feel that, and I'll tell you right now, I'm a moderate person in general. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I understand that there are some great things that have nuances to them and some bad things that have nuances to them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that technology is enabling right now that are harmful to a lot of people. And we can't, there has to be a balance between giving people their privacy and doing the right thing by people, like sex trafficking. Like, there's like sex trafficking that's done all by cell phone now. You know, you send a text here, you get a text back. You know, child pornography. You have like literally like killings. Like, I'm from Shy. Like, I've seen, you know, people sitting up in a doggone Heralds and they're like tweeting about, I mean, texting each other about, you know, the next dude they finna go light up. Like, it's real out here. Technology, like, people are embracing technology for all the best reasons and all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And we have to keep in mind that for everything great about something, there's also going to be people that use it for the worst types of things. Oh, and indeed. We need to check against that.
Oh, indeed. Indeed.
You know,
and another thing, too, that I thought was really interesting about this whole thing was the fact that, you know, the reason this is even coming up is because of what happened in San Bernardino.
Right.
With the shootings there. And, you know, it kind of goes into the whole thing of, you know, and it makes me think of how willing we were to give up so many freedoms during, say, for instance, right after 9/11.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right after 9/11, and you had the formation of the Department of Homeland Security, right? Big monstrosity of a government agency, right? It encompassed so many different agencies and said, okay, we're going to put all of these resources towards the Department of Homeland Security, and we're going to enact the Patriot Act. And so it snowballed to the point where now the government is like, they're you know, they're tapping phones without warrants. You know, they're checking into your library. You know, readings, all of these different things, man, getting access to what it is, all this metadata, they're building up all this metadata on you to try to profile you, to try to bring it up to where, like, they know who you are and, like, all of these things that you wouldn't, you wouldn't think anybody would think to look for, you know? And so with this, and this is why I think it's so odd, is that we have a conglomerate saying, hold up, man, we're not going to allow y'all to do that. That's the interesting juxtaposition, because you look for the government to protect certain rights for you. You know, a lot of times, well, you know, when
I don't know which government you're used to. Like, I don't know about that. But I mean, theoretically, yeah. You know, the government should be doing what's best for the citizens.
Exactly. Like,
the not the corporations. And it's weird that now it's like, in this instance, it's almost turned around.
Right.
Like, it's for once, like, it's not the corporations, like, getting beaten down by the government. It's the government getting beaten down by the courts.
Right.
And when I say
government, I mean, like, as far as, like, regulations are concerned, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially when it comes to totally corporations. So, like, when you talk about environmental protection, you go to the EPA, that's a government agency, mm-hmm. and they keep a lot of these corporations in check as far as pollution is concerned. When you think about communication companies like Comcast, like AT&T, they got access to the FCC. When you think about utilities, like here in Michigan or in any state, they usually have a public service commission that the utilities answer to, which are government entities, to keep them in check. And so mm-hmm. it's a bit of a turnaround to see the corporation putting a check on the government and their access and their ask for access to certain information or the... Yeah. Or setting a precedent. Now, I think that's really what it is. This is all about, like, the setting of the precedent. Yeah. Like, oh, if we're going to let you do this for this phone, how often is this now going to become a thing to where we have to do this all the time? And if this technique or this software or whatever, if this does get into the wrong hands, we've seen, hacking crimes of Target hacked and consumer information being leaked there. Chase Bank went through this a few months ago.
Like Ashley Madison.
We've seen how this information being in the wrong hands can be troublesome. So like I said, man, it's just interesting for me to see the corporation being on the side of, hey, man, we're not going to allow this to happen, man.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How do you feel about McAfee offering to unlock that phone?
Keep
in mind, he's the head of one of the biggest computer security technology firms.
Not only that, if you have Comcast, McAfee comes, like, their software comes free with your internet subscription. So, mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I don't know if he plans on doing that himself or whether or not he is planning on incorporating his company in order to do that. I don't know. But I do think that the fact that Apple, and I'm not even a big fan of Apple, that's the thing, but the fact that that Apple is the one standing on the side of saying, not only can we not do that, but it's also ethically not reasonable for us to do this also.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's for me, that's the biggest takeaway from this entire thing.
I don't know. I'm skeptical of the government, you know.
Yeah.
I never feel like they're, like, whatever angle they're playing publicly is never the actual angle that they're getting at.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical of corporations. Like, especially me being a former employee, like, especially, like, corporations, like, as large as, like, Apple and, you know, to a degree, like, I work for Apple, I work for Microsoft, you know, and I understand how huge, massive, and far reaching these companies are, and just how much information they have on you. I'm skeptical of them all because I know at heart they may be wanting to do the right thing, but they also have to think about their bottom line and how they can best spend whatever situation comes about to their best fiscal outcome.
Indeed. Yeah, man. But moving on. Segue to another topic, especially when we talk about ignorance being dangerous. Conservative talk show host Tommy Lahren. I think that's her name. Tommy Lahren, right? We all know Tommy Lahren because she was the conservative talking head who made the video about Beyonce and the Super Bowl performance, and she took umbrage at the fact that Beyonce saluted the Black Panthers and Malcolm X during the Super Bowl. She was the Span Report ass hat of the week last week. Right,
I think she could do a repeat, man.
She's not doing the repeat this week. There's a couple other motherfuckers who beat into the ass out of the week this week. But she had Charlamagne the God of 105.1, The Breakfast Club, on to debate her about her initial video. And do you get a chance to watch that?
I watched a little bit of it. I just watched the ending where he clowned her, really. I wasn't interested in anything she had to say, to be very honest.
Well, you know, one of the things that I thought was, you know, one of the things I thought was important was the fact that during her initial video, it was painfully apparent that this woman had absolutely no clue about who the Black Panthers were, what the Black Panthers stood for, and why the Black Panthers even existed. And it was actually kind of refreshing. I'm not, here it is again. I'm not really a fan, but like, shout out to Charlamagne for actually being able to kind of enlighten her a bit. But the thing about it was, like, she wasn't receptive to being informed about, you know, the history of the Black Panthers, why they existed, what they were there for, and even so much as to why they were destroyed, so to speak. She didn't even have a common knowledge as to why that was. And so one of the things that I was thinking about was, I remember Neil deGrasse Tyson, not even a couple weeks ago, man, he was talking about B.O.B. and the flat earth theory. And he was talking about how dangerous it is for, you know, like, it's okay for you to like think whatever it is you want to think. But when you're in a position to influence others, that makes it dangerous. And it's dangerous to our democracy and our free society and everything else. And then
it is.
And I was thinking about, well, damn, this woman has a platform on The Blaze, which is, I think, financed and founded by Glenn Beck, formerly of Fox News. She did her media rounds. I think she was on TMZ and she talked about the video on TMZ. And another thing that I found so interesting, man, and I know it was, I posted about this on Facebook, and I know it was a sister who might have been a bit upset with me because of the way I framed it. Because I said this, she was like a whiny ass woman, right? And it was a sister who was like, you know, well, I think she was upset in the way that I framed it, but it was, there was so much more to it, because there was another instance on Twitter. I don't know how often you are on Twitter, with this comedian, Owen Benjamin, who went out of his way on Twitter to talk about Beyonce being a cunt, how he compared the Black Panthers to the KKK and everything else. And of course, folks got at him on Twitter, tell him how wrong he was and everything else. And it was funny because he started dialing back his rhetoric. He started deleting some of the tweets, and some folks got some screenshots of it specifically because they figured he was going to, you know, delete these tweets or whatever. And he started dialing it back, and it became a thing of where he was saying, all of a sudden, like, the Bay Hive came after me. The Bay Hive is coming after my family. They're threatening my life. They're doing all of these things. It's like, hold up. Who are these people threatening your life? One. Right?
Right.
Who are these people threatening your life? And then when he was asked that question, he couldn't produce any of the people who were threatening his life. And he ended up just deleting all of his tweets. You know what I mean? And he came up with one sarcastic ass tweet about, don't come after Beyonce. Don't say anything. Just stand still and all this other shit. Right? So I started seeing this pattern with Tommy Lauren, where when she came out with that initial video, she talked about folks were coming after her. Folks were talking, you know, folks were threatening her life. Folks were threatening the life of her family. Folks were really coming at her. And then I thought about it. I'm like, well, damn. If all of these people were coming after you, if people were giving you death threats, if people were making your family feel unsafe in any sort of way, and especially if this shit is happening on social media, on your accounts.
Right.
Why not put these folks on blast?
Yeah.
Why not screenshot this shit? Like, hey, this is what such and such sent to me. Right. I want to fuck your face and do all these, because I know people say crazy shit online, especially because
they
think the anonymity gives folks a lot of courage to say things that they wouldn't say to someone in their face and everything else. I know this. I'm perfectly aware of this, but I was noticing that, like, when folks started coming, well, when all of these critics of Beyonce started coming out, and folks would actually take up for Beyonce, it became this thing of, I'm being victimized by this Beyhive. And I get it. Like, Beyonce has some very passionate fans. Don't even get it twisted.
They'll get you together.
Don't even get it twisted. She has some very passionate fans. But the rhetoric being ratcheted up to the point where they were saying, my life is being threatened. People are talking about they're going to do this to me. They're going to come after me. They're going to do this. And I'm like, okay, well, where are the screenshots, right? So when she had Charlamagne the God on the show, she talked about the people in her mentions who were coming at her, and not one of the, and she had a screenshot on her show. Not one of the screenshots was of an actual death threat.
No.
I Googled death threats for Tomi Lahren on I did that on Google. I searched it up on Twitter. I searched it up on Instagram. I didn't get shit. I got like one chick who was talking about, I want to fight her dead ass, as in dead ass serious.
Right.
Nobody actually threatened.
Nobody's going to threaten to kill Tomi Lahren over talking about Beyonce. They'll threaten to kick her ass.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not even saying that it couldn't happen. I'm just asking whether or not it did happen. You know what I mean?
Didn't.
And so I think the sister kind of took offense to the fact that, you know, I said, you know, this, she was a whiny ass woman and everything else. But the point that I was getting to was this, was when it came towards people coming at Beyonce sideways in a disrespectful or even in a factually incorrect way, one of the ways that they go about shutting down dissent was to say that they were being victimized or that they were being harassed or anything else. And I just noticed it as a pattern to say that, hey, these people are threatening my life, I don't feel safe anymore, as a way to shut down dissension.
Well, see, that's the new that is the new response to black nationalism and black pride, to be very honest. Anytime now that you express that pride in being black and refuse to accept anyone being racially insensitive or bigoted or any of that, now it's, you know, oh, you're victimized, you're trying to take away my freedom of speech, or these people are coming at me, or this is white erasure, or something like that. White genocide is the term that they like to call it right now. And it's the weird thing about it is that it's their comments that are causing such an incendiary time period, such an incendiary climate in America right now, where it's making people dangerous. You know, you have the police in Miami, I think it was Miami police or something like that, that said that they weren't going to do security for Beyonce's concert because of her performance. Which is absolutely ridiculous. It's like the most insipid thing. But I wonder, like, is that their part of it is their fault? But a lot of it comes from this rhetoric that's being spread by these conservative talking heads, by some of our presidential candidates, you know?
Yeah.
And it's this vitriol that anybody that's speaking out against police brutality is automatically anti-police and is calling for people to kill cops, and nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing that at all. Like, I've seen the movement shift from the 80s all the way up to now. Like, far and few in between are the calls for actual violence by anybody. Beyonce did none of that whatsoever. Anybody just saying that is full of shit.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Like, but then you have the Donald Trumps who are enabling this type of thing. That, what's the lady name we were just talking about?
Lauren,
who's enabling that type of thing, because what she's doing is taking this willful ignorance, right?
Yeah.
And then she's adding that bigoted white privilege point of view to it, to people who already feel some kind of way, who already got that white guilt boiling up inside them. And now it's turning any message that's meant for black people is vitriol to them. It eats at their spirit and they're getting so angry about it. It's weird that so many wrong people are so mad about people recognizing that they're wrong.
Yeah. And you know what? One of the things I thought was really interesting, man, because, like, and I'm talking about platforms and the fact that, like, the internet has kind of democratized, like, how we are able to broadcast thought. how we are able to get voices heard. Like, you don't necessarily need for mainstream media to inform mm-hmm. you in any sort of way now anymore. Like, you can get your news on Twitter. You can get your news on Spreecast or Google or whatever. You can, there are so many different ways in which you can get your information. And the thing of it is like, when ignorance has a platform, it kind of amplifies and legitimizes a lot of folks, right? And Tommy Lauren is an example of that, where you can go on a platform with national reach of the Blaze and say mm-hmm. something factually and historically inaccurate and mm-hmm. present it in a way in which you think it is factually and historically accurate, to the point where when someone gives you the accurate account of the history, you don't even have to acknowledge it anymore. So, no. So when Charlemagne was talking to her about why the Panthers were formed, why the Panthers had guns, when there was violence that did happen between the Panthers and the police, it was basically a form of self-defense. Mm-hmm. And she continued to double down on this rhetoric about the Black Panthers being a terrorist organization. And so you'll get to a point, man, where folks just ain't really trying to hear shit that don't confirm what they already think they know.
Right? It's I feel versus what is thing.
And it works both ways. Don't get it twisted. And it works both ways. But it's always interesting when we do have historical accounts, actual historical accounts, factual information concerning these things, and this person not acknowledge it and have a, you know, have thousands of people who follow behind them, who listen to them, who hold up this as an example of, see, this is why things are the way that they are, because it's just what this person here said. Now, they confirm what I already believe, so I'm gonna roll with what they saying. Damn what these facts say. Mm-hmm. And that's when I, you know, pretty much why I named this episode Ignorance is Dangerous, because there are so many people who may not know, right? Who it may not even be through any fault of their own, who may not know and are going to someone to try to get themselves informed. Mm-hmm. And if it kind of jibes with their sensibilities, then yeah, they'll roll with it. But if it makes them feel uncomfortable, then maybe I got some questioning to do. You know, I think it's all about where folks feel comfortable about where their lot in life, their lot in history and everything else. I think that's where a lot of this comes from.
Well, it's even more dangerous than that, right? Because at this point, it's become almost treasonous the way it's happening. Because now you don't have just this willful ignorance in the private sector, right? Yeah. You have this willful ignorance being played out across our political landscape now.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, people will see that something is not right. They'll know for a fact that it is not right.
Yeah.
And you have politicians that will take these things that they know are untrue and keep on spreading them to their listeners, to the point where now they're becoming the purveyors of misinformation to the people, mm-hmm. and deliberately miseducating and misinforming the American people by a political, by a part of our political personnel for the country. That should be treason. Because that's undermining the well-being and the strength of our country. You know, that's a treasonous activity.
Yeah.
And now you're allowing these talking heads to create the political narrative for our actual politicians. Like, it's literally tearing apart America.
Yeah.
You know, this willful ignorance. Like, this, it's like, there's a very anti-intellectual thing happening right now in America.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, like I said, like, I think when I was talking about the internet kind of democratizing a lot of things, especially in the way in which we're projecting our voices. You know, there used to be a time, man, where, like, you recognized a kook when you saw one. You know what I mean? Like, you recognized kooky information. You recognized, like, fraudulent shit. Like, it didn't take a whole lot. Now, you'll come across something kooky, and folks are like, well, it might have some truth to that, man. Hold on. Homeboy talking that real, man. We just sleep. You know, you just sleeping on it, man. Homeboy talking that real is like, okay, man, we got to go back and like, kind of vet some of these things, man. We can't just start taking things at face value. And I think for a lot of folks, man, we don't necessarily apply that sort of effort as far as vetting the information that we're coming across, man. Real talk.
No problem. Yo, Spam, my man. And I just lost my camera for a moment. I'm getting it back right now, brother.
Okay, no problem. I can still hear you. I don't know if the guests are able to, but I can still hear you. But while we're doing that, though, I did wanted to get into our segments. We got our ass hat of the week. Yo, we
got some hats now, motherfucker. All right.
Hold on. Let's turn that up. I couldn't hear that shit at all.
Yeah, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
All right, there we go. And this week's ass hat of the week is Rutherford County, Tennessee Sheriff Robert Arnold, man.
Oh, my God.
And Robert Arnold actually blamed Beyonce and the Formation video and the Super Bowl performance for why there were shots fired near his home in Tennessee, right? Let me pull this up real quick. I think I got some audio for this, man. This is crazy. I thought I had it pulled up already. And I don't. Hold on. And I don't. Let's see. Beyonce. I done spoke about Beyonce more in the last 2 weeks than I have in my entire fucking life. Sheriff. Tennessee. Here we go. Can you hear that?
Yes, sir.
For Complex right. News, I'm Sean Evans, and a sheriff from Tennessee is making headlines today for suggesting that a shooting outside of his home may have been inspired by Beyonce's recent music video and Super Bowl halftime performance of Formation. According to a report from the Tennessean, Rutherford County Sheriff Robert Arnold says that he heard a series of shots outside of his family home earlier this week. The following morning, Sheriff Arnold was asked about a possible motive and suggested that Beyonce may have emboldened the shooter.
You know, with everything since the Super Bowl and with law enforcement as a whole, I mean, I think we've lost 5 to 7 officers, 5 deputies, sheriffs, since Sunday's Super Bowl. Well, you have Beyonce's video and how that's kind of led over into other things, it seems like, about law enforcement.
Quite the leap of faith by Sherrod Arnold over here, like blaming an uptick in speeding on the release of Furious 7 or attributing a rise in cocaine possession arrests on people binge-watching Narcos. Arnold likely didn't expect to become a national news story this week, so on Wednesday he sent an email to the Tennessean to clarify why he mentioned Beyonce. My comments reflect the violence and senseless killing of 7 deputies in the U.S. since the show aired. My comments are an observation of the violence that has occurred, but in no way is meant to offend anyone. That's the news for now, but for more on this story as it develops...
All right. Now, why does this sound so much like it's Obama's fault? Like,
it's ridiculous.
Man, look. And I was talking about this morning, I think. And I was talking about how, like, who knew that the police had such fragile feelings to where a video of a woman proclaiming her blackness and an allusion to asking the police to stop shooting us automatically draws an anti-police rhetoric statement being blamed for the killings of several police officers in Tennessee, to the other asshat of the week, the Miami Fraternal Order of Police, who are pushing a boycott of Beyonce and her Formation video, or her Formation world tour. I'm sorry, they don't want to work those events. Like, how does this song? And then, or the illusion of, hey, stop shooting us, get to the point where we're talking about anti-police rhetoric to the point where police don't even want to work her events.
It's utterly ridiculous, right? But here again, we have a case where the dominant force, right?
Yeah.
Is using the rhetoric of the people who are seeking protection from them. You have this dominant force who are now saying, oh my God, anything that you say against us is victimizing us, right?
Yeah.
We're right back to that same thing again. And to be honest, all this has always been about how much power they can exert over the people. You know, that's what this whole thing has been about. And now, anytime you have somebody that's stepping out with that, especially a black woman, because it's very specific that it's a black woman, because Kendrick Lamar did the exact same type of performance.
Indeed.
And even more so pointed performance at the Grammys. Mm-hmm. And even though he did get some of that response, he didn't get nearly the amount of backlash that Beyonce has taken.
You know what, though? Like, when it comes to the criticism that Kendrick Lamar may have gotten, or if we want to compare the criticisms that both Beyonce and Kendrick Lamar have gotten, one of the things that I found the difference in that was between brothers, right? Because, like, I saw a lot of brothers talking about, well, how
absolutely.
She... not even, you know what? I take that back. Not even just brothers, but, like, there was even some women who just simply don't like Beyonce for what... and they have their reasons, right? So they don't like Beyonce. So they're like, well, how you up for the movement when you prancing around in a leotard? You know, the movement is much more serious than you prancing around in a leotard, dancing and shaking your ass and everything else. Oh, how you for the movement when you got this blonde hair flowing and everything else? Like, your hair wasn't naturally like that. How you for the movement? You're seeking to make money. Right. You're a capitalist. Like, you're seeking to make money off of the backs.
Like, they don't have jobs.
Well, right. But not only that, it's like, okay, Beyonce was getting all of those criticisms for asserting her blackness, for alluding to Black Lives Mattering, and she was receiving all of this criticism. Kendrick Lamar didn't necessarily receive that level of criticism. He put on an amazing performance at the Grammys, but no one came at Kendrick Lamar to say, hey, man, why were you perpetuating the image of black men being locked up? Hey, man, why, you know, you make money off of your music, man. How you really for the movement and everything else? Like, nobody came at Kendrick Lamar in much that same way. Everybody was in awe of his performance. But no one came at Kendrick Lamar with the same level of vitriol that they came at Beyonce with. I don't know if it has to do with Beyonce's level of celebrity compared to Kendrick Lamar, but Kendrick Lamar is definitely on his way there. You know, but that was an interesting juxtaposition to watch the level of criticism that both of them got while both of them were being unapologetically black in public.
And doing the same thing.
In white
space. I really feel like, especially with Beyonce, right?
Yeah.
You kind of just touched on it. There is a level of superstar which you reach, which in many realms of black, you know, woke thought, automatically makes you part of the system, right? You get so rich, you get so successful, and all of a sudden you can't be trusted, as though that type of level of success and that type of level of wealth and whatever measure of power it affords you isn't something that we all work for. It's a little bit, but the thing about with Beyonce is that Beyonce displays her power as a woman and as a black woman without any regard for how anyone else feels about it.
Yeah.
And people from both ends are always trying to control that for women.
Yeah.
You know, you have women who say, well, a woman should be able to do whatever she wants to do. Right.
Yeah.
And how she wears her body is none of that. None of that matters if that woman is intelligent and she's doing her thing. And then you have the other side of it, which says that, oh, well, you should be more respectable and this, this and that. So you have the, you know, you're too much in the movement and you're not in the movement enough.
Yeah.
But it's all based off these very insipid things. You know, when you look at what she's done, how many black women she employs, you know, how she does the type of music that she wants to do and not necessarily does all the label-y stuff anymore, yeah. You know. You're looking at a new dynamic of black power for women, and that's embracing her femininity, her sexuality, who's saying, yeah, I'm a woman, I want a man, I want to cater to my man and all this, but don't ever get it twisted. I'm still a black woman. I'm still brilliant. I'm still powerful, yeah. And I can have all this and be beautiful,
yeah.
And still be part of the movement.
Yeah.
And the animosity is the inability to be able to pigeonhole her.
Oh, indeed. Oh, indeed. And there's always going to be a segment of people who feel as though even her level of wokeness is in question. Mm-hmm.
Isn't enough.
You know, it isn't enough. There were times where when Beyonce was meeting with Trayvon Martin's parents, how folks looked at that to say, well, she was just, that was a photo op, you know. Or they'll say, well, they're not doing enough, and you come to find out later that they were bailing folks out of jail during the Baltimore yep. riot. Or you look at the fact that, you know, the title, how they just donated $1.5 million to you know, Black Lives Matter and their affiliated organizations to kind of mm-hmm. further that movement. And so then you juxtapose that with the fact that she's also including these things within her art. So now it's in everybody's face. Everybody has to acknowledge this. Everybody has to take some sort of stance, whether it be for or pro, mm-hmm. I mean, or against. Everybody has this level of awareness of this now, not only with the money, but with the pop culture references. And the actions behind it. And so it's always funny, man, like her level of wokeness is always being up for question. But it's like, hold up, man, you questioning all of these moves, but where's your what are you doing exactly? You know, and that's always is always that thing, man. Like, you know, and I get it. Folks are cynical. You know, it's all a photo mm-hmm. op. You know, like, why they had to publicize they were giving the money. And like, there's always going to be that level of naysay when it comes to things like this. But the fact that she's getting all of this conversation started, and she said that shit in formation. You know, you that bitch when you start all this conversation. I've been talking about mm-hmm. Beyonce and the shit surrounding Beyonce for 2 goddamn weeks. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man.
I'll say it, and I got friends who don't like her for whatever reasons. I've always, like, especially over the past, like, 4 or 5 years, I love who she's becoming.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, there is there's something happening right now. There's something very special happening right now where even the most commercial of artists, right, are all chiming back in. And it's really kind of like a throwback to, like, the 60s and the 70s where it didn't matter if you were a commercial artist or, you know, a down-home artist or whatever. There was something going on, and you had something to say about it. Mm-hmm. And for a while, it was like, yo, don't mess your money up talking about this stuff. You know what I'm saying? They'll mm-hmm. get you out of here. But who's going to check a Beyonce right now? Who's really going to check a Beyonce right now?
I mean,
you going to tell her you don't want her endorsing your product?
You think about this, man. Like, and even in the way in which she, even in the way in which she releases her music. Like, I remember, what was that, last year when she just dropped that album and didn't have any promotion for it at all?
I was on Twitter that night.
Out of the blue. That shit blew up like a bomb. And women around the world rejoiced. And I think that's part of it. That's another thing, too, man. Like, a lot of dudes take that time to shit on these things because this is something that black women are really into, unfortunately. So, like, if black women are partying, man, you got a lot of salty niggas that's sitting off to the side like, man, fuck that shit, man. You know? And
because, with the come on, son face.
Because it ain't for them. You know what I mean? And so, like I said, man, like, for me, it's like, I'm not necessarily, and I hate even having to put this qualifier to it. I never really been into Beyonce's music. I never really, you know, paid attention to Beyonce's music in that way. Like, I hear it. It's playing everywhere. I hear it. But I understand, like, yo, it's not necessarily for me. But I ain't about to shit on somebody else because they having a party and they rocking to it. And so it's so many dudes who get up and they feel as, man, fuck that shit, man, fuck this shit.
And let me just say this. Just like that Super Bowl performance that Beyonce did wasn't necessarily for white people.
Yeah.
Everything that a black female artist does, or a black artist in general, ain't gonna be specifically for dudes.
Right.
And dudes gotta get to that point where they're secure supporting women, like especially supporting these sisters in what they do, no matter whether or not it benefits them. You know what I'm saying? You can't just be for the movement if you're only for the movement of men. You have to be for the movement of sisters, for the prosperity of sisters, for their own enlightenment and their own sources of joy. I think it's the best thing. I love to see women get caught up over Beyonce. I love to see a black woman supporting a black woman in that manner.
Yeah.
Like, that is a beautiful thing where she does something and it touches them. It's not like this isn't a shallow thing. This is something that reaches them. Where you see women, they look better, they dress better, they dance. Like, dudes, if you don't understand the power of Beyonce, like, your ignorance is dangerous to your relationship. I'm going to tell you right now, one day, just come home, buy your woman some flowers, light some candles, turn down the light, and put on Partition, or play Cater to You. Let me tell you, Beyonce, by the end of that song, Beyonce is your favorite artist, bro. Because you never gotten it like you about to get it, my dude. You thought your girl was nasty. You did not know. You did not know. You got to understand that when women feel empowered, that this is great for everybody. It's best for everybody, especially if you're a stand-up dude. So, I hate the cliche, but if you want a strong woman, you got to be a strong dude.
And you know what, like, that was one of the things that I've always kind of talked about in reference to the Black Lives Matter movement, is that I've heard so many dudes shit on the Black Lives Matter movement because it is a movement started by women. And a lot of the people that you see in the forefront of the movement are women. And, you know, some dudes take offense to that, and they have this idea that these women should be playing the background role, or that they're over the top in how they present, you know, the rhetoric and whatnot. You know, and I always said this, man. I said there are multiple ways, if we're really going to be about the upliftment of everybody or other people, there are multiple ways in which to do it. So if you say that you haven't seen any, you see Black Lives Matter doing this, but you don't see anybody acknowledging, say, for instance, black on black crime, hey, why don't you take that as your thing to do, as being a part of the movement? Hey, Black Lives Matter has this. Hey, we gonna address police brutality. I'm over here and I'm going to address black on black crime. Hey, I'm over here and I'm going to address, say, for instance, the Flint water crisis. I'm over here and I'm going to address income inequality. It doesn't have to be where we have to set each other to the side and disparage each other in the ways in which we are all trying to get the same goal accomplished.
Exactly.
And so, yeah,
there's a lot of lanes on the road to liberation. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of lanes.
Indeed.
And just because everybody ain't driving in your specific lane doesn't mean that they're not trying to get to where you're trying to get to.
Exactly.
You know, there's enough problems and enough people that we need a little bit of dispersion. Now, I'll be very honest. Like, I'm not a fan of all the things that people do in the name of the movement.
Right.
I'm not. But then again, I'm a moderate person. You know what I'm saying? My mindset of solution is that you can't change anything that you're not a part of. So I'm of the mind of kind of a D. Ray McKesson, where he's now running for mayor of Baltimore. You get in that system and you change it. The Matrix taught us, bruh, Neo could not beat Agent Smith or the Matrix until he got in the Matrix. You know what I'm saying? You can't destroy it from the outside. So that's my idea. Other people have their own idea. Like, yo, we don't need their system at all. We can scrap their system and get ours, get our own. Both of those things are getting us to the same point of liberation. and equality and strength in our community. It doesn't have to all be the same damn thing. You know, that's an ignorant mindset. Like,
not only that, you have to do it the way I do it. Not only that, is unrealistic.
Completely.
Because we know that black folks, or just not even just black folks, people, period, man. Like, no matter what culture you're a part of, no matter what ethnic group you're a part of, people, period, aren't a monolithic group. In order for, like, you know, and you hear this all the time, well, black folks got to do this in order for us to rise up and everything else. Like, well, hold up, man. You know everybody ain't going to do that. You know everybody ain't going to do that, because there's always going to be something else that they have that they hold up as more important to them.
Absolutely.
So, and for you to tell folks, for them to get theirs, they have to put their things to the side. Whatever is concerning them, they have to put their things to the side and worry about this shit that affects you.
You.
And like, hey, well, if we get this done, then we could worry about this other shit. And folks are just really going to be like, all right, man, whatever, man. It's all about you right now. And so, like, it's unrealistic to expect that all of these people are just going to come together and do these things as one to kind of get us all to this exact same place. And right. So, not only that, it was another point that I wanted to make about that. And I'm losing my fucking train of thought. I hate that. I hate that. No, but not only is it unrealistic, but it's also an excuse. Because when shit doesn't go in the way in which you thought that it should go, it's because nobody followed behind you. And that's why things aren't the way in which they should go. You know, so there's always that convenient lane that folks can kind of fall into when they don't see things kind of falling in which the way they thought it should go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then again, that just comes from people not taking the time out to learn about other ideas. You know, we have to, there is a culture of ignorance. I really feel like there's a culture of ignorance brewing in the United States, where you don't have to know about something, you just have to feel a way about it.
Yeah.
You know, you have, everybody has a voice. This whole First Amendment, you know, First Amendment, I can say with freedom of speech, you know, it's overrated. Like, there's no responsibility of speech. There's no responsibility of knowledge. Like, we don't want to be the country of the stupid. You know, I hate quoting this guy, Bobby Jindal, but he was talking to the Republican Party, and he said, hey, we don't want to be the party of the stupid. Mm. You know, too late for that, but still. It's like, but still, you have a point there. You know, goes back to the whole thing with B.O.B. and Neil deGrasse. You know, this whole thing where you don't have to look that hard to find the information anymore.
You have no excuse.
So why would you accept being willfully stupid? You know, the benefits ain't that good. The benefits ain't that good. There's broke white people out here that are railing against the Black Lives Matter movement, railing against Obama, and everything that they're fighting against would benefit them, because economically, they're in the same position as almost everybody else. You know, there's a study that came out a couple days ago that say most people in the United States are making under $50,000 a year.
Yep.
You know, most people, like, not just some people, most people are making under $50,000 a year. You know, and almost half of that percentage is making less than $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
You know, and by there being so many white people here, you know what I'm saying? That it just goes to say, hey, those people are part of that underclass right now. And so to go against these type of things, to go against the fight for liberation, for women to be empowered and everything like that, like, why fight yourself? Like, dudes, like, I hate that it
has just opened on Broadway, and it's blisteringly funny.
What's that?
I don't know, man.
But I hate that dudes, we have to convince dudes to support black women. Why? What's good for them is good for you, bro. You're not gonna lose nothing.
Man, you talking to somebody who has to who reiterates that shit damn near every week.
Like,
I don't know.
Don't lose anything from it. So yeah, like it's a dangerous climate. And to be very honest, if everybody just take a second to actually just look into what they talked about before they talked about it, like things would get exponentially better. Like, yeah. So yeah. Quick.
Yeah, man. Real talk, man. We got one more segment. And speaking of supporting black girls and black women, we have our champ of the week this week. Oh, okay. Snap. My sound effect is gone. I don't know what happened to it.
Dun, dun, dun.
The champ is here. Boom, 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 boom. The champ is here. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. I really don't know what the fuck happened to it. It just said it wasn't there anymore. But this week's champ of the week, man, is 11-year-old Marley Dias, man.
Yes.
And she started up a book drive and a hashtag for the book drive to get up 1,000 black girl books, man, because she said that she kept seeing books about dogs and white boys, and she wanted to see herself represented in literature, man.
Oh, no, sister.
So she started up a book drive to get 1,000 black books featuring black girls. And let me read from this article here, man. It says, so I went to my mom and she told me, well, what are you going to do about it? She said she started a book drive. The idea was simple but ambitious, to collect 1,000 books about black girls. And we started posting pictures on Instagram of me holding black girl books and pretending to read them. And then flash, we added a hashtag, and now it's become a full-on book drive, Marley said. She came up with the hashtag 1,000 black girl books. Well, we know that social media is like the main outlet for us to get anything that we want now, so it needed to be fun, catchy, and just something easy to remember. So we wanted 1,000 books and wanted them to be black girls, so you just kind of smack them together and you get a hashtag. Marley's initial apprehension about finding 1,000 books has now been replaced with excitement. First, local media got wind of her drive, which led to appearances on Larry Wilmore, on The Nightly Show, and with Ellen DeGeneres. The books began arriving and stacking up. By the time CBS's morning visited, Marley had collected close to 1,300 books, man.
Beautiful.
So, shout out to Marley Dias, man. She is the Span Report podcast champion of the week, man. Real talk.
Come on, little sister.
Yes, indeed, man. And, yeah, man, we coming up on a listener feedback portion of the show. We didn't get any emails this week. We didn't get any voicemails this week, but we do have some results from the latest poll from the last episode of the Spare Report. And the last poll was, do you believe the Willie Lynch letter is authentic? Right? Because I got an email about, I did a segment. I haven't done it again, but I did a segment called This Week in Hotep. And there was a brother who was talking about Levi's jeans and the logo on the Levi's jeans being synonymous with the Willie Lynch letter. And I also saw another video of another dude saying the exact same shit, not even a week later. And, you know, I kind of challenged folks on the Willie Lynch thing. So I put up a poll on the Spare Report that said, do you believe the Willie Lynch letter is authentic? 66.67% said no. 0% said yes. And 33.3% said, my Uncle Willie don't do letters, just barbecues. So thank you guys for going ahead and voting in the polls, man. But yeah, man, it's Black History Month, man. We ain't got no excuses for walking around perpetuating that Willie Lynch nonsense. For real talk,
none
at all. But yeah, man, we get ready to get on out of here. But before we go, tell them folks how to get in touch with you, man, over at Theory Studios, brother.
Yo, it is really easy. Theory, T-H-E-O-R-I, anywhere you go. So Facebook, Theory Stages, Twitter, Theory or Theory Stages, Instagram, the same. You can also catch up with my ongoings personally at WendellTucker.com. Also at Reflective-Music.com. So, squad.
Indeed, and all of those links will be available on this episode at thespareandpoor.com, man. So you guys can go ahead and click on that right from there. So make it easy for a lot of folks, right? And before I get out of here, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me, man. Hit me up on Twitter. My name on Twitter and Instagram, both of those platforms, Mr_Span. Chop it up with me throughout the week. Call the hotline. Leave a voicemail. Area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemails. We'll play them on the show and respond to them here. Email the show. The Spare Report, feedback@thespareandpoor.com. That's feedback@thespareandpoor.com. Leave me those emails. We'll read them here and reply to them. Give me your ass hat of the week submissions, man. Asshat@thespareandpoor.com.
Donald Trump.
Indeed, man. Every indeed. Week. That's all. But you know what? He's like in the Ass Hat Hall of Fame, man. Like, we can't keep nominating that motherfucker. But, yeah, Ass Hat of the Week. What else? Oh, subscribe on Spreecast, man, so you guys can catch this show live and you can participate in the chat room. You can also present us with questions as we're doing the show. So subscribe to the show on Spreecast, man.
Push the button.
Push the subscribe button. And when I do go live, man, you get those emails to tell you when the show is scheduled, when the show is going live, man, so you guys can always catch the show live when it's happening. Also, go to the Spare Report. www.thespareandpoor.com. All the podcasts are available there. Everything associated with this podcast, pretty much all of the episodes, all 104 of them are available on thespareandpoor.com, man. So if you guys want to go back into the archives and listen to this shit when I was just sitting in my living room with my laptop and my headset, like, hoping that Audacity didn't crash and I had to re-record that segment 1,000 times to bring you the show, go on thespareandpoor.com, man, and get your life with this.
And you can pay our phone bills.
Hey, and you can pay the phone bills, man. Go ahead and donate, bro. You can go ahead and donate at thespareandpoor.com too, man. Hit the donate button. Anything you can donate to the show helps immensely. You can set it up to where you can donate one time, or you can set it up to where you can donate recurringly. So if you want to do it weekly, whether you want to do it monthly, whatever it is that you're willing to give, man, it's always appreciated here at thespareandpoor.com. But, yeah, man, it's time for us to get out of here. Thank you to Wendell Tucker for coming on with your boy. And I'll talk to you guys later, man. So until next time, fam, peace.
Black Lives Matter.
Indeed.